Anybody see that video before? Several million people saw it, so I thought maybe somebody here might have seen it. Want to be a celebrity? What is a celebrity? Celebrity is a famous or well-known person. I'm going to show you four celebrities and see how many of you can name those celebrities. Probably most of you will be able to name them. So name that celebrity. Who is this guy? The Rock. All right, here you go. Who's this? Justin Bieber. There we go. Over 1 billion YouTube hits on a single song. A billion. Unbelievable. How about Taylor Swift? 1.7 billion YouTube hits on a single song. That is just mind-boggling to me. Who's this guy? We'll call him Tom Brady for this morning. Winner of 4 NFL Super Bowls. I don't care if you like them. They're just examples of celebrities. Celebrities are about glamour, about fame, about popularity, about money. Let me turn these lights back on for you. In today's culture, celebrities have become our heroes. I want to be like that person. I want to make that kind of money. I want that kind of popularity. The Rock made like $64 million this year. But celebrities are not usually real heroes. So what is a real hero? A hero is a person noted for courageous acts of nobility or character. A hero is a person who, in the opinion of others, has special achievements, abilities, or personal qualities, and is regarded as a role model or ideal. And a hero is the bread or roll used in making a hero sandwich. Thank you, dictionary.com. If you want to summarize it, if you want to boil it down, what a hero is this morning, I just like to say this. A real hero is someone worth looking up to. And a lot of our celebrities are not. We're talking about being a real hero today, and I don't want us to get confused with just somebody who's famous. To be a celebrity, I got to be thinking about me. This is about me. To be a real hero, I got to think about somebody else. There's a huge difference. Now think about this. Do you think it's easier to be a celebrity or a hero? I hear people saying celebrity. We don't really have to answer that question. We're not going to answer that question today. They're both difficult in different ways, but which do you want to be? I'd like to rewire our perception of a hero, and maybe you fall into the cultural trap of, you know, celebrities are heroes. Maybe you haven't, but I want us here to be looking up to the right people, the right kind of people, and really the bottom line is that we can also become real heroes. We don't have to just keep real heroes to be out there somewhere. God actually intends for you to be a real hero. I believe that. God intends for you to be a real hero. So welcome to this new series, Real Hero. I hope it's going to turn us into more of the hero that God intends us to be. The reason I want to do this is because I really believe God wants you to be a hero. Somebody's hero. And if you're going to get there, you got to be looking up to the right people. So before we get too far, when we did our preview series, I got some feedback that there may be some people thinking that there's only one hero. His name is Jesus. And I can agree with that to a point. But I want to draw a line between the ultimate hero and a real hero. There is only one ultimate hero. His name is Jesus. There is no competition. No one will change your life like Jesus. But regular people can be heroes too. And I believe with all my heart that every father needs to be the right kind of hero for his kids. Every teacher needs to be the right kind of hero for those kids that are looking up to them. And there are people looking up to you right now, and you need to be the right kind of hero for those people. That's how God set things up. That's how things continue. That's how things perpetuate. We need the right kind of heroes. I need the right kind of people to look up to. You do. Both from the present and from the past. There are heroes from the past that can really help us, and David is one of those heroes. David's not perfect. Some of you already know that. But God thought really highly of him. So we're going to take some time. We're going to take quite a bit of time, several weeks in the fall, several weeks in the spring, to get into David's life. We're going to look at some of these stories, some of the ones you heard maybe as a kid. But we're going to be reminded of some of the things David went through, some of the things he experienced. We're going to remember some overwhelming situations. We're going to remember some disastrous temptations, some glorious victories and tragic mistakes. We're going to go through all that stuff because there's a lot of power in people's stories. Those stories and what God says about them and how people respond in those situations, they kind of remind us what to value and inspire us in our story. Because your story is playing out. It's still going. So just in the beginning of this and as it plays out, what we're going to find in this real hero, his name is David, we're going to find strength. We're going to find a strength that runs really, really deep. As you get into David's life, you're going to see a strength that goes deep in here. That's what we're looking for. David is no glamorous performer. He's nobody like the pictures we put on the screen. He's not that kind of person. He's real, and he's real in here. Real heroes are strong, deep, deep in here. So as we explore his life, we're going to learn, what does it take to get strong in here? We're going to strengthen our core. And some of you might have a strong core. Some of you work out. Some of you can do plank for like 10 hours in a row. And like, I thought about having a competition. Let's see who has the strongest core and just stay in plank position for like half an hour. And I was going to try to preach in plank position. I decided I didn't even try it. I didn't practice. So we're not going to do that. But we want to strengthen our core, not just the glutes. Go deeper. That's the core we want to strengthen. The invisible stuff that makes real heroes. So do you want to find out what makes David a hero? You want to get into those stories again, even though you might know some of them? That's what I'd like to do over the next several weeks. So if you're willing to do that, open your Bible to 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16, first 13 verses, page 202 in the Bibles that we provide. I just want to pray as we get started. Heavenly Father, we've already been singing about the strength that you provide as we wait upon the Lord. We've sung about this blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And these are things that can kind of just bounce off the top or they can sink deep in. And as I was singing blessed assurance, it was just sinking in, just the reality of what you've done for us and the strength that is there for us. So God, as we dig into David's life, Father, I pray that you would strengthen us, that our hearts would be fully committed to you, that we would become the hero that you intend for us to be within whoever's life you want to put us. God, protect us from that desire to be a celebrity or even just a desire to focus on me. We don't need to be your hero for more people than you intend. But we do want to be the right kind of person that is worth looking up to. So God, I pray these next several weeks would be helpful for every single one of us, myself included, as we dig into the life of David. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel 16. This is our introduction to David. Okay, David lived around 1000 BC. So picture the setting where we're at. The nation of Israel. Anybody know how old the nation of Israel is at this point? About 1,000 years old. So our country, how old are we? About 240. So Israel's been around for a while. They've been around for a long time. But they've only recently begun to have a king to rule over them. This is just starting, this idea. Until this point in their history, God has been their king. He would speak to them through prophets and judges. He would lead them with a pillar of fire and direct intervention. That was their history. He would use godly men like Moses and Joshua to lead the people into God's blessings. That's what they knew. But now, the people want a king. Give us a king so we can be just like everybody else. That was the one thing going for them. They weren't like everybody else, but that's what they wanted. So God gave them a king. Their first king was Saul, and he was exactly what the people wanted. He was it. He was a confident leader who could keep the nation strong. He looked the part of a king. He was taller than anybody else. He was built. He was strong. He was courageous. Saul was a celebrity, but he was not a hero. It wasn't long before Saul made a couple of pretty crucial mistakes, a couple of decisions that would convince God that he did not belong in the position as king. What was Saul's weakness? You remember? He didn't take God's word seriously. He partially obeyed. Yeah, sure, I'll do that. And he only sort of did it. God told him to do something, and he didn't take it seriously. Under pressure, he took matters into his own hands rather than doing those things that just as God had instructed. So God rejected Saul as king. It was clear that Saul's heart was not fully committed to God. Enter David. Saul is still functioning as king, but his days are numbered, and God's blessing is revoked. That's where we begin. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I've come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I'll show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Prophets sometimes did not come in peace. Verse 5, Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him." The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by. Probably in age order, right? First, second, third. But Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There's still the youngest," Jesse answered, "but he's tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. He's the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. So we have Samuel, prophet of God, sent to anoint the new king. God tells him which family he'd come from, but he does not tell him which son. He leaves out that detail. Just go and do it. Samuel goes and does it. And as God often does, he chose the unlikeliest candidate as his choice. The youngest, the least respected, the smallest, the one everyone saw as a boy. The boy, the lad, probably in his teens. You notice as Jesse is bringing his sons before him, he didn't even think to include David. I mean, he's the youngest. Let him keep doing what he's doing. He's not going to be picked for king. Jesse didn't even consider him. And this may stand out to you or may not, but God saw a lot more in David than his own father did. I don't know, for some of us, some of you maybe, that could be meaningful. God saw a lot more in David than his own father saw. So that could encourage you. Why did God choose David? Was it just to be unconventional? Just to like mix things up, throw them off? Yeah, you brought seven. Well, there's an eighth one. And since you didn't bring him, I want to pick him. Was it just random? Is he just trying to throw things around? No, I think God had a pretty significant reason for choosing David. And we're told what that reason is. Why did God choose David over all the others? You see it? It's his heart. It was his heart. Something, and we don't really know what here, something about David's heart caught God's attention. Verse 7 is kind of the key verse in this passage. The Lord said to Samuel, "Don't consider his appearance or his height, for I rejected him, the first son." The Lord doesn't look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The other brothers were taller. They were stronger, maybe even wiser than David, but God rejected them. He saw something different in David's heart, and God said, "He's the one." So as we're thinking about this and looking through this, was the point that David was weak, small, and ugly? Was that the point? I want someone weak, small, and ugly. Is that who God's looking for? No, David wasn't any of those things, actually. Look at verse 12. David's brought in and he was ruddy. Okay, now ruddy means he was red. Probably red hair, maybe freckles. But he was reddish, kind of like Esau was red, with a fine appearance and handsome features. Okay, he wasn't some mutt. He was handsome. Other translations say he had beautiful eyes when it says he had fine appearance. So something about his eyes and he was handsome. He was good looking. He looked similar to his brothers, maybe a little bit smaller. So it's not that he had to be physically displeasing. That wasn't the point. That's really not what God was thinking about at all. The difference in David was his heart. It's what's on the inside that no one else could see. That's what caught God's attention. So God's making his choice. Who's going to be the next king? Think about this. Think about just how God works and, you know, how God might think. When God's looking for someone to represent himself, what is he looking for? What qualities is God looking for when he wants to choose someone? Does he need someone who's strong? Does he need someone who's powerful, influential, and rich? Somebody with excellent speaking skills? No. God doesn't need strength. He already has plenty of that. He doesn't need a rich person. God owns everything. He doesn't need an excellent speaker. Remember Moses? He had a stutter. Why would God choose him to speak on behalf of the whole nation? And God doesn't need any of those things. There's only one thing that God is looking for. One thing. What God is looking for is someone who will represent him well by doing what God asks him to do. That's the one thing God's asking for. Will you take me seriously? God is looking for a heart that's fully committed to him. That is what God is looking for. Not a self-serving agenda, no eye for personal glory, no greed. I'll do what you ask me to do. David is that man. David is that man. Everyone else is looking down on David right now. Who are you? Go back to the sheep. And that's not going to go away for a while. But God knows David is actually a hero worth looking up to. I don't know if you noticed, but we don't have a lot of detail in this event. We're not told a lot about David. David doesn't speak a word here. All we see is he just stands there. He doesn't have to give some kind of speech like, now in 5 minutes or less, tell me why you should be the next king. Like, and he had the most convincing argument. He doesn't even speak. We're told very little. All it says is that God looks at the heart and he liked what he saw in David. And as we read about the rest of David's life, we're going to add a lot more detail to that. But this is where we start. This is the starting point. God looks at the heart. So we want to be not just thinking about David. We want to think about ourselves too. We want to make that connection between then and now. So God looks at the heart. What does he see when he looks at yours? I'm thinking about this, and I think for a long time, I have wanted to be the celebrity, you know, well-known, respected, you know, that people recognize me and, you know, there's some kind of honor because something good is happening here and God is working, but hey, look at him. And that celebrity is about me. And the truth is, if I want God to notice me, I can't be about me. If you want God to notice you, you can't be about you. If you're going to use what he gives you to serve yourself, he's not going to waste himself on that. So when God looks at your heart, what does he see? I want to show you two outside passages that talk about what we're talking about here. One is in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. This is Paul talking, and he's speaking to a mixed group. This is in the New Testament, right? Hundreds of years later, talking to a group of Jews and Gentiles. And part of the sermons back then, they would give like Israel's history. They would just go through what God had already done. And this is what he says when he comes to the point where he talks about David. Paul says, after removing Saul, he, God, made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. That's what he was remembered for by Paul. He will do everything I want him to do. David had a heart that would obey God. And that was the difference between David and Saul. That was the main difference. Another passage, this is more of a general passage, but 2 Chronicles, this is in your notes. I mentioned it this morning already. This verse gives us an inside scoop on what God's looking for when he looks at our heart. Just a little piece of detail. What attracts God to my heart? Here it is. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. This is what God's looking for. And I love that picture that just like this scan going on, God is scanning, constantly scanning the world population, looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And those people, bleep, catch God's attention. Bleep, there's another one. Bleep. Now, those words are actually spoken by a prophet to a king whose heart was not fully committed to God. This passage is actually in the context of a rebuke. This king was not fully committed to God. And the rest of the verse says this, you have done a foolish thing, and from now on you'll be at war. That king's heart was not fully committed to God. But this tells us, this is a warning to those who are not, and a blessing to those who are. All right, so this is still God. This is still God, eyes of the Lord ranging throughout the earth, looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And what does God say he wants to do with those people that he finds? God intends to strengthen. He intends to give strength to those people. Let that concept sink in for a second. That God Almighty would give you strength. You find another better power source? Better option? This is true. This is God. He wants to give strength to those whose hearts are fully committed to him. So we want to look at this and say, okay, is this me? Will I get a bleep when God is scanning Is my heart fully committed to him? Because I want it to be, because I want his strength. Do you? I need it. Do you? I want that to be true of me. Because this isn't just some nice idea. This is the word of God, spoken by a prophet, inspired by the Spirit. This is true. This is true, and I need God's strength. So there's a lot of hope in this, because when we're struggling, when we're weak, we feel like we have to get stronger. Somehow I need to become stronger to hold it together through this. We don't have to strengthen ourselves. We don't. We don't have to strengthen ourselves. God does that part. So what's my part? My part's to make sure my heart is fully committed to him. To continually examine my heart, because I can easily stray away from that. Maybe you've been there, maybe you've never been there. But I want to make sure my heart is fully committed to him all the time. And as soon as it gets off track, I want to get it back on. That's why I have people around in my life to ask me questions and to make sure. So just think about that phrase, fully committed, for a second. What does that mean? How do I know my heart is fully committed to God? This is not an impossible thing. This is not one of those, I have to be perfect. Otherwise, that verse would be pretty despairing, right? Yeah, God's looking for those people, but they don't exist. So good luck. God's power is not happening. No, this God is strengthening those whose hearts are fully committed to him. This is possible to be at that place where God's power is lifting you and give and strengthening you. So here's what I would suggest fully committed means. Fully committed means you'll do what God asks of you, even when it costs you, even when it hurts. We all obey in some ways. We all obey sometimes. It's easy to obey when it's what I already want. The test is when you're asked to do something you don't want. Right? That's how you know if your heart's fully committed. I'm going to do it anyway, even though I know this is going to hurt and this is going to cost something and this isn't what I want. Saul partially obeyed. That's easy. Everyone does that. Everyone. You want to be different? Do what God asks you to do when you don't want to. That's when God's strength just... That's how you know if you're fully committed. What does it take to be a real hero? It takes a heart that's fully committed to God. That's what it takes. You don't have to be a Tom Brady superstar. You don't have to be built like The Rock. I know some of you ladies wish you were built like The Rock, right? I wouldn't mind. But that's not what we're going for. That's not really the making of a real hero. Some of the most inspiring heroes don't look like heroes at all. Not even a little bit. I found this video on YouTube. I want to share it with you. It's called 10 Incredible Kids Who Are Heroes. And I'm just going to share three of them if the video works. You ready?
Tyler Moon was hurt and struggling to breathe when he crawled through 2 kilometers of Australian bushland to find help for his dying father. The two had been riding quad bikes on the far edge of the family property when it flipped and crushed them underneath. Tyler was only 7, but the small boy managed to crawl home to his mother with 9 broken ribs and a collapsed lung. He said, quote, "Daddy told me to tell you he needs an ambulance," before he crumpled to the floor. Thanks to the sheer determination of Tyler Moon, both him and his father were able to make a miraculous recovery. Iqbal Masih's family was deep in debt when they sold him at 4 years old into child slavery. After 6 years of horror, he managed to escape and immediately became a leading activist that spoke out against the slavery of children. Convinced he wasn't helping enough, Iqbal began sneaking into factories and releasing children enslaved in Pakistan. He helped over 3,000 children escape their abusers and received the 1995 Reebok Human Rights Award. Tragically, soon after, Iqbal was shot in the head. At the time, the heroic human rights activist, Iqbal Masih, was just 12. In 2004, waters were raging outside of Asma Ayub Khan's orphanage, and the Mumbai flood was quickly filling inside. The courageous 13-year-old knew she couldn't watch the kids who called her sister drown, so she jumped headfirst into the deep waters. Against all odds, she successfully ferried 40 helpless children to higher grounds. While the flood rose around her, she didn't even know how to swim. Her extraordinary bravery for saving 40 lives was recognized and earned her the Indian Bravery Award in 2006.
You want to be a real hero? You don't have to be big. You don't have to be strong. You don't need to have money. You don't need to be an adult. What you need is heart. What does God see when he looks at yours? Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. David had it. David had the heart of a real hero. And that's where we're going. Maybe you feel like you're not there yet. That's where we're going. Let's go there together. One of the great prayers that David wrote in the Psalms is a prayer about the heart. And so as we step into this real hero series, this is the spirit that God is looking for in us. It's the spirit that will honestly pray a prayer like this. Psalm 139, 23, 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And I just want to invite you to make that prayer your next step. You don't have to get super specific right now. Just start to look at your heart and ask God to do that with you. So if you're willing, just take a minute right now. Just pray that prayer line by line, one line at a time, you and God. Would you do that? God, we pray that you would search our hearts. We pray that we know you already see everything. Nothing is hidden from you. Nothing. Some things are hidden from us. As you search our hearts, Lord, show us what's there. Show us our anxious thoughts. Show us our offensive ways and give us the courage to repent of those things, to turn from those things and to find through your guidance, the way everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is the beginning. I am excited for the potential of what God can do around here if we will take this seriously. If we will really do this and just let God speak to us. If we, as we draw this link between David and us today, and you give yourself to God and His process in you, you're going to grow as a hero. You are going to become more the hero God intends to make. How do I know that? Because God's a hero builder. That's what He wants to do. He wants to do that in us. So I know that God is looking to raise up the next generation of real heroes. I want to see Him doing that here. I want to see Him doing that in churches all around this town. And so if you're with me, let's do this. Let's do this together. I want to have, in addition to next steps, I want to have some time for prayer right now as we step into this. And there are three things I want you to pray about, plus one that was just brought in today, a specific prayer need. I want everyone to be in a group, at least one other person, maybe two or three in your group. Not everyone has to pray, but I just want you to pray for these things. One, pray for yourself. Lord, make me into a person who's worth looking up to. And if I'm already there, help me stay there. Two, pray for our youth. Lord, raise up a new generation of real heroes. We got to be worth looking up to for that to happen. And three, pray for Cornerstone. Lord, fill this church with real heroes who are fully committed to You, who aren't afraid to sacrifice and obey You regardless of the cost. That's a church that God will use powerfully. Now, there's one more that it's not up here, but I want to ask you to pray for this too. Matt and Monica have a friend from growing up, I believe, from a long time ago. Single mom, five kids, was killed yesterday. Very tragic, very, very horrible. There are five kids without somewhere. And so, sorry, I did not write her name down. Rebecca. Her name is Rebecca Weller. And if you can pray, as you pray, these five kids need a hero, right? That God would provide the right hero for those kids, that they won't be split up. And we want God's will for this, but we believe it's best for them not to be split up. So they're friends from way back, Matt and Monica. If you want to talk to them more about it later, please do. But this just happened yesterday. So pray for these. Turn to a couple people near you. Pray for these things and pray for Rebecca Weller. Can we do that? Just take a few minutes, and then we have one more song.